Over the last few weeks, we've been having a little mini-series of encounters with Jesus. And as soon as you announce something like that, you realize the difficulties and the pitfalls of such an adventure. It would be easy to look at all the encounters of Jesus and to select three and to leave out all the others. In fact, we have to do that. But how do you make the selection? And it struck me as I was doing it that it would be very easy to select three people who had encountered Jesus, whose lives had been changed by Jesus, and who had been used by Jesus to go out into the world and tell his message, to show his message to the world, and to have all of them as men. It's a trap we often fall into because we forget to read the gospel. The gospel makes it absolutely abundantly clear that Jesus was just as likely to talk to women, to send them out into the world to tell his story, to proclaim the messiahship of Jesus. And so, today, we look at one of his encounters with a woman by the well in Samaria. I've called it No Barriers with Jesus because this story is a challenge to all of us. And it's especially relevant, I think, when we see what is going on around us today, not only in the world, but in our own country. Jesus did not recognize the barriers that seem to appear for the rest of us. He just didn't recognize them. He would not accept them. And at times he went out of his way to challenge them. That is what this story is about. It's a wonderful story. We could actually have a series of sermons in this story. But let's today just have a look at how Jesus crashed through the barriers and the boundaries of his time to tell the people of Sychar, I am the Messiah. You've been waiting for the Messiah for a very long time. I'm here. And the woman was sent to tell them. You see, in many ways, this meeting should never have happened. Jesus wanted to travel home. He was up in Judea near Jerusalem. That's in the south of Israel. He wanted to go up to Galilee, his home place. And the most direct way up to Galilee was through the middle of the country. And in the middle of the country was Samaria. It had all been won in the time of the early time of the Old Testament. And then, of course, the tribes fell out. There were some who wanted to go one way, some wanted to go another way. It was over a religious argument, as we'll see later on. But really, it became much more a tribal thing than anything else. And they just did not like each other. John puts it very succinctly. Jews do not associate with Samaritans, he said. And so Jesus had to make a choice at the very beginning. Would he, as many Jews, devout Jews might have done, would he go around Samaria to avoid any contact with these nasty Samaritan people? Or would he, as some other Jews would do, go straight through Samaria? But most Jews would go through as quickly as possible, with as little chance of contamination as they could possibly have. Jesus chose the second, but not the second method. He went through at his leisure. He stopped by a well. If there was anywhere you were going to meet Samaritans, it was by the well. They had to come there to get water, to drink, to eat. So Jesus was immediately challenging the norm of his own society, his Jewish society. He was challenging the way in which they had built a boundary, a barrier between themselves and the people who should have been their friends because they were all part of Israel. but whom they had turned into enemies. And he, unashamedly, walked through Samaria and stopped by the village well. There the disciples left him. They went off to buy food in the village. I wonder, did Jesus deliberately choose to be alone at that moment so that he could have a conversation with the next person to come, and he knew who that next person would be? It would be the woman coming alone. Jesus always knew what was going to happen next in these encounters, and he could see how this was going to develop. A woman came along to draw water from the well, and Jesus began a conversation with her. Another taboo. Men did not have long conversations, serious conversations with women, certainly not about religion, about who was the Messiah. In Jewish society of the time, men and women might have all been Jews, but it was the men who passed on the religious message. The women were allowed in the synagogue, but at a different place. They could look on, they could observe. But the teaching was to the men and to their sons. And Jesus crashed through all that as well. Another boundary he was chopping through. Jesus knew what would be expected of him, not to talk to this woman who came out. And he chose to ignore it because Jesus ignored barriers. And not only was he in serious conversation with a Samaritan woman, but she was a woman who had quite a reputation. Most commentators suggest that she was coming alone to the well in the heat of the day because the other women of the district would have nothing to do with her. Jesus seems to have contrived a meeting with the most impossible woman he could find. And Jesus, it's clear from the conversation, Jesus knew her reputation. It wasn't that he didn't know who she was. And yet it was this disreputable woman that Jesus chose to send back into the village to tell the people that the Messiah had come. See, Jesus was never afraid to break with convention. His life really was breaking convention all the time. He didn't do what was expected of him. If he had, he would have led a revolt against the Romans. That's what the people expected, but that's not what Jesus was going to do. He was always crossing boundaries. I wonder, do we have the courage in his name to cross some of the boundaries of our own time, the assumptions of our own society and of our world? Assumptions that some people should have a comfortable life while others are pushed out to the margins. Assumptions that some people have true faith and other people's faith is a bit suspect. All kinds of assumptions, all kinds of boundaries. Will we, in Jesus' name, break those boundaries? Or are we trapped by them? Let's look a little more closely at this encounter with the woman by the well. I wonder how she was feeling when she began to walk out of the village to collect her water. For her, it was a very routine journey. She'd done it, I'm sure, hundreds of times. Perhaps she was reflecting on the choices she had already made and the way that it had caused her to make this journey alone without the company of the other women. They tended to keep clear of her. So rather than joining in the local gossip, which was part of what going to the well was all about, as well as getting the water, of course, she was the local gossip. And so it was a surprise to her to see this stranger by the well. This was way out of her comfort zone. She encountered Jesus when she was doing a very everyday thing, something that was quite normal to her. I wonder, do we realize that Jesus more often speaks to us in the everyday of life than in the special places, on the special occasions, when we come to church, when we go to a convention or some of these kind of things? Yes, he will speak to us there. But he is just as likely, and perhaps even more likely, to speak to us when we're riding a bike along the road, when we're doing the school run, when we're out shopping, when we're at work, in school. These are the places where Jesus comes to be alongside us, to listen to us, but also to challenge us, perhaps about our relationships or the assumptions we make about other people. When we read the Gospels, we find that Jesus meets a blind man at the side of the road. He meets fishermen when they're doing their work down on the shore. He comes alongside two disciples walking home from Jerusalem. It's in the everyday of life that Jesus comes to meet and to challenge us. But I wonder, have we the ability to recognize him when he comes and to absorb what it is that he wants to say to us? And the second thing that comes out of this encounter is that when Jesus does meet us, we need to respond to him honestly. To be fair to the woman, she was quite honest. She answered him initially quite rightly. She didn't have a husband. She'd had five, but she didn't have one right now. But then she tried to deflect Jesus away. She asked him about a tetchy old question to do with religion. Should they worship on Mount Gerizim? That's where the Samaritans wanted to worship. Or should they worship in Jerusalem? Jesus would have none of it. He quickly moved the conversation on to tell her who he really was and is, the Messiah. You see, sterile disputes, whether they're about religion or tradition or history or whatever it is, are of no interest whatever to Jesus. He may know about them, he will know about them, and he may feel sorry that we are trapped by them so often. But they're not why he came into the world. He came into the world, as John tells us in the verses we read earlier, to be the savior of the world, to change the world, and to change our lives. If we stay with the sterile, old, traditional questions, we miss the point. Jesus came to bring life, to bring hope, to bring joy, not to leave us with our despairing questions. And the last thing I think we need to learn from this encounter is that Jesus can use us to tell his message, to show people who he is, even if we don't feel that adequate ourselves, and even if we haven't thought everything through for ourselves. He sent her back into the village, and all she could really say in the village is, "Come see the man who told me everything. Could he be the Messiah?" She hadn't quite sorted it out in her own mind. And yet, she was telling the village all about it. It's interesting that a little later on, we're told, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. And the woman's testimony was a question. Could he be the Messiah? He told me John goes on, everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. But all because she had the courage to go back into the village and share her questioning. Sometimes we can be very reticent about sharing with others what we know about Jesus. We're afraid. We're afraid perhaps that they'll ask some awkward question that we can't answer. We may even be afraid that they'll challenge our faith to such an extent that we become confused in our own faith. But the reality is that more often it is in discussion with others, as we explore the life of Jesus, the reality of Jesus together, that our faith is strengthened and confirmed. The experience of the people of Sychar was that they could together discover a truth which they possibly would never really have found on their own. It certainly would never have happened if that rejected woman had not plucked up the courage to go back into the town and ask that critical question, could this man be the Messiah? We need to be prepared to meet with Jesus in the everyday of life and to be challenged by him, challenged to cross whatever boundaries are holding us back from truly being his disciples. We need to be honest with him, not trying to pass him off with silly questions which seem important to us, but being honest as to who we are, how we feel, what we think. And then we need to share our excitement with other people so that they too may discover who Jesus is. It is then, as we noted last week, then we will know in our own experience who he is. Let's pray together. Lord, help us to recognize you when you come to us. Help us to accept the challenges you bring. Help us to see what is important and what is unimportant. And then give us the courage to discuss with others and together find you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.